industry is their right.
We're in prison for how many years?
For 6 years. It's
Nigeria Info. This is Public Square, and to begin, before, I mean, it's 3:45, so it's not Public Square yet. Public Square starts at 4 p.m. but right now we have Ayobe with us in the studio to talk about ideas, right, Ayo?
Yeah, yes indeed.
Right. Ayo is going to tell us what that stands for, and then we'll get into the conversation.
Okay, ideas stands for integrity, democracy, ethics, and accountability.
Great. Integrity, democracy, ethics, and accountability. And on that note, we are talking about the security issues that have bedeviled us in the last few days, right?
Well, Yvonne, you say the last few days, but really, it's not the last few days. There have been two that have shone the spotlight on the security challenges that we face.
True that.
But What really concerns ideas is the question, we're looking at the A in idea, and the question is, who have we been holding accountable for our security? Now, the popular saying is that the buck stops on the desk of the president, which is true. At the end of the day, he is the one that we hold accountable. But I found myself asking, who does the president himself hold accountable for our security? He is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. He has operational control of the Nigeria Police Force, because despite several recommendations that the police should not be under the operational control of the president, he still retains that operational control. He is the one who appoints the Inspector General of Police under the advice of the Nigeria Police Council. It consists of all the governors and chair of the Police Service Commission, right, and others. And he also has various other security agencies. And so he is the one who is accountable, because he has all those in his hand. But the point is that he puts those people there. And yet Nigerians would have been actually, I don't even know whether to say bewildered or shocked or just completely baffled, when the president arrived at the scene of the recent prison attack on the Kuje prison at Abuja. Correctional facility at Abuja. And was asking, well, where's the intelligence on this? He himself was asking questions. And he actually, well, I don't suppose that the president is the one sitting there twiddling his thumbs on his Twitter account, but nonetheless, his Twitter account also put out questions asking about the intelligence issues. And I think that when it comes to our discussion or our interrogation of who is accountable, we have to ask, is the president himself holding anybody accountable? It's, as I've said, I'm not one for knee-jerk reactions or saying that, oh, people must resign and so on and so forth. But you see, when you've had not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but 6, 7, 8, 9 prison breaks just in the last 2 years,
right,
attacks on prisons, and that's, I mean, even if I have to go back to October 2020, when Ikoyi Prisons was also attacked during the NSARS, or the aftermath of the NSARS protests. These are attacks on prisons. And you end up asking that, even if you're not going to sack somebody after one mistake, when they've been allowed to make 10
one
mistakes, it's time to ask, is the president holding anybody accountable for these lapses? Because it does seem to me that where we haven't had anybody held accountable, then, as I say, if you don't make anybody sit up, then everybody lays back. And that seems to have become the modus operandi. You come in, you inspect. People were complaining that Mr. President went to Senegal after visiting Kuje prisons. But to be frank, one has to ask, well, what was the president going to do even if he didn't visit even if he didn't go to Senegal, the meeting that he was having today with the security chiefs is one that he no doubt must have had many times before. And those of us who are now on the outside will be asking, well, what has been the result of those previous meetings? Or is it that it's only now that the attack on the prison was in the federal capital territory that it becomes a matter for concern? Because you'll remember, Yvonne, that the one of the things that the Buhari administration has been priding itself on is that it has stopped the attack by terrorists and insurgents in Abuja that we used to see under President Goodluck Jonathan, where you could be standing at a bus stop and a car bomb or some other kind of suicide bomber would come and attack you. Now, the Federal Capital Territory... I've been sitting in this very studio, Yvonne, and I've been talking about the need for him to change his army or his armed forces chiefs, and it took forever before he even extended the time, you know, that thing that they say that Nigerians, when their back is to the wall, they break down the wall and continue retreating. The president, when the time for his service chiefs to retire had come, he broke down the wall of retirement age extended their time, so that it is it's as if he does not want to understand that by keeping those people in position long past their sell-by date, long past the date when they were having the initial impact that they were having. And I don't deny that they had some very serious initial impact, particularly on the insurgency in the northeast, where Boko Haram was being driven back. But I think that when you get to the point that you can see that the insurgents have moved away from religious war and so on, and have moved over to banditry and kidnapping to raise funds. And then we see now that the funds that they have raised, whether they are being used now to fund fresh insurgency, fresh terrorism, that once you see that happening and your only answer continues to be, we will send in the army, we'll send in the army, then it's a problem. Because the normal business of securing Nigeria inside the country ought to be that of the Nigeria police force.
Right.
So let's talk about you've talked about the accountability of the president in this regard. You've talked about democracy. But let's talk about integrity now. The integrity of the prison wardens, maybe, you know, the people who are supposed to guard the correctional facility. Because the Senate president did say that for that incident to have happened, there had to be an insider on the job.
Well, I think that what I heard him say, though, it looks like, because I think it's a valid question to ask. But the reality is that even if it had not been an insider job, 300 people arrive at your correctional facility and throw a bomb in to break down the wall. Well, the only question that might arise is the fact that the correctional facility staff did not stay to fight. Rather, they ran away.
Most likely because they probably didn't have the kind of weaponry.
They were outgunned.
Exactly.
Outgunned and outmanned.
Indeed.
And I think that that also raises a question about the integrity of the whole response, because we are told that villagers around the Kuje Correctional Facility did send warning messages that they see all these people gathering and they seem to be getting ready to attack. They're gathering for something anyway.
Right.
And there doesn't seem to have been any rapid response.
Right.
I mean, as I said, I mean, the president talked about intelligence, and I think, yes, intelligence would have prevented them in the first place, or would have let you know that they were coming. But once they were on the way and warnings were being given, was there any rapid response? There was not. And so I think that, I mean, I don't want to say that if it were me, I don't have the training, I would probably run away if they show me a gun, or I might be stupid enough to think that they might not use it. But when you are trained But if you know that you're trained and you don't have the weaponry, then you try to live to fight another day. I don't necessarily blame the staff, because as they say, you get to the prison, you see bushes and the whole place is looking very anyhow and so on. You stroll up to the gate. Even though it is a medium security prison, the idea that you are keeping very high level prisoners, some are awaiting trial, but at least some of them are accused of serious offences, offences of violence connected with terrorism. And the question then becomes that if you know that you have these kind of people in this prison, then why are they being kept in? Why isn't the security much more, first of all, on the spot, but why also isn't there a better response to such an incident? And I think that when you see that, as I said, it's not the first time. So when you see that, and the Minister of Internal Affairs has not made any changes, we have not seen that the prisons authorities or the correctional facilities authorities have come out and said these are the changes that we are making, or that people have not observed them. I'm not saying that they have to telegraph every security change or response that they're going to make. But we haven't seen that. We haven't seen anybody removed from their position, either as minister, controller of prisons, inspector general of police, commissioner of police, head of the Department of State Services, all the intelligence that we should have. I think that it's time for us to ask the president that, are you holding anybody accountable, or if the buck stops on your table, through what tables did it pass before it got to you?
Right. Well, one thing we have seen now is that the details of the escapees have been put out to the public domain. But that leaves me with one question, though. Will they ever be caught?
Well, it depends on whether they are inside, whether they remain inside the country or not. Because let's not forget that this appeared to be a targeted attack by the Islamic State West Africa Province terrorist group. And they went there specifically to look for their compadres in the crime of terrorism, insurgency, and perhaps banditry and kidnapping as well. So they were looking for people, and they would have known how to take them to where they would be secure, because after all, we are still dealing with negotiating with kidnappers of people on the Kaduna train, and we don't seem to be able to know how to go in and flush them out and deal with them. Terrorists attacked the road from Kaduna, and the police was boasting that we chased them off. We shot some and chased them off. Chased them off to where? These are questions that that the president ought to be asking, actually, as I said, because if we only watch television and we get some ideas about things that can be done to catch criminals, terrorists, bandits, insurgents, then I think that those who are actually trained in the business should be able to do that. But to hear that people are still negotiating to free kidnap victims, that we are now going to expect the Nigerian public to identify, because people do identify, where do they call with the information? The Inspector General needs to do something about making people feel confident about a number that we can call. And quite frankly, it's time for us to enter the 21st century with an emergency number, whether it's 121 or 191 or whatever it is, that Nigerians can call.
Especially with the recent attacks on the president's convoy and the Kuje Correctional Center. Aya, thank you so much for having this conversation.
Thank you so much, Yvonne, for guiding me through it.
Okay, Lagos.
I wish everybody a very happy Eid al-Kabir holiday.
That's right, me too. Although I will not be having meat, I do not know why. Probably because I don't have a lot of Muslim friends, unfortunately. But if you have meat, I'm open.
Widen your circles, my dear.
I know, I will. Aya, thank you so much.
Thank you, dear.
The conversation continues, albeit it will be a repeat broadcast.